Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Pastor Don Esposito, and he, of course, travels throughout the world. He has a ministry in many, many countries, and he's been to Kenya recently and can bring us abreast of what's really happening in the Sudan, at least in the Christian part of the Sudan, what's happening in South America, what's happening in Israel. He takes tours regularly over to Israel. So it's with great pleasure I introduce to you Pastor Don Esposito. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
Good. Doing very good, Dr. Stan.
Well, now, why don't we just start out? You were in Kenya, and let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Kenya today. Why the people of Africa are impoverished today, why they can't get ahead, and then, of course, what's happening as far as the Christian element in the southern Sudan. We've been led to believe, of course, that everything is fine, that there's a truce there, that everything is just hunky-dory. But that really isn't true, is it?
No, not at all. And when we first went to Kenya, it was very interesting because we're helping them build buildings over there, and we're starting projects with the Kenyan Christians and really trying to help them build themselves up. And it's very interesting that what was told to me by the Kenyans, they said, we're not just looking for handouts, and we're not just looking for people to give us money. We're looking for just some help so that we could help ourselves. And we started something called Project Africa, where we were trying to use Kenya as a base to build up some economical programs there, and from the finances that would come in, that Kenya could start supporting the Christians in Ethiopia and Sudan and some of the other places. And as the program started to sputter a little bit over the last year or so, I was wondering why. And our last time in Kenya now, we got some very interesting information from the Kenyan people there, and one of the elders actually works within the Kenyan government. And he was telling me that the biggest problem today in Africa, not only Kenya but Africa, is the fact that in Kenya and Africa, they're not allowed by the World Trade Organization to bring their products onto the market. So here it is in a time where we keep hearing about free trade and bringing democracy to the world. The way they work, believe it or not, is, you know, you have a poor woman who goes out there. She puts a basket on her back with her baby in there. She picks for about 10 hours for the day. She's going to make about 10 cents, maybe 20 cents if she really hustles. And then at the end of the day, she cannot sell that tea to the highest bidder. She must bring it into one central place, and then the government's going to get their part of it, and then the world economic system is basically going to take it from there. So it was really discouraging to see that unless something changes, they have no hope for the future.
But you see, Don, I believe that this is the way the system is set up. Those of our listeners who have not heard my interview with John Perkins or read his book, and we're hoping to have it available very soon, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, John Perkins was part of this whole system. Their purpose was to get the countries, third world countries, to borrow so much money that they could never get out of debt, and then, of course, the government would have to take the money from the poor people and then use it to pay the interest to the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, to the international corporations. And, of course, if they couldn't get the leaders of the country to betray the people, they bribed them, they gave them money under all pretenses, then, of course, they'd bring in the CIA to kill them. This is one of the most revealing books, and unfortunately, people in Kenya and so many countries in Africa will never get out of debt, tragically, because of the policies that are being imposed upon them. We'll be back in just a moment. Hear it. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Pastor Don Esposito, and he was just telling us what's going on in Kenya. Don, we have new listeners who didn't hear what you were saying just a moment or two ago. Would you explain why the people of Kenya can't get out of poverty?
Sure. Like I said, they're not really given a fair chance. The people that are in Kenya, here they are, all they want to do is have an opportunity like anybody else in the world for real freedom. Unemployment in Kenya is up to 80%, so even having a job is unbelievable. But what happens, for the ones who are working, as I was saying a couple minutes ago, you know, a poor woman will go out there to a field to pick tea, she loads her child on her back with a big basket, and if she really hustles and makes two baskets, maybe she'll make 20 cents in a day, but most of them make about a dime a day. And then they're not allowed to bring that tea to the highest bidder. They must bring it into one central location where the government takes it. They get their portion, you know, in their tax, and then the rest of it goes into this global, you know, economic financial system. So really, unless something changes worldwide with this, they really have no chance of ever getting out of the situation they're in now in Kenya.
And I think this is really not only in Kenya, but it's all over Africa, all over South and Central America, all over in many areas in Asia. It is part of a planned program of impoverishing the people. Now, our guest is Pastor Don Esposito, and he has his ministry. What's the name of your ministry, Don?
Well, our ministry, the name of our church is called Congregation of Yahweh. And our ministry that we take worldwide, we really don't have a name to it. You know, we go in the form of that church.
All right, fine. And, of course, you, of course, travel not only to Africa, but you travel to South America and to Israel. Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the refugees from the Sudan. Now, most people don't understand that there are two groups that are being persecuted in the Sudan. One are the Muslims in the West who are being killed by other Muslims. The others are the Christians in the South who are being killed by the Muslims. And where do the Muslims get the money? Why, they get it from the Chinese. Where do the Chinese get the money? Why, they raised it. China Petrol raised $5 billion on American equity markets here, raised money in America so they could give it to the Sudanese government so that they could persecute the Christians. Of course, in the process, they were developing the oil there. But as the oil revenues created with American dollars that are being used to drive the Christians, would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about how they've driven the Christians out of their homes?
Yeah, it's amazing to hear some of these stories firsthand from some of the Sudanese brethren there. But they said literally the Muslims are just coming and hacking people apart, burning down villages, and they are running for their life.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Pastor Don Esposito, and he's a minister, and of course he's traveling throughout the world representing his church, trying to help the people in so many of the third world countries. And he was just talking about what is happening to the Christians in the southern part of the Sudan. Now, we hear a lot about the Muslims in Darfur in the western part of the Sudan who are being killed by Muslims, but they all usually play down the Christians in the South. Many of them, of course, have been sold into slavery, hacked to death. But there's a group that escaped into Kenya, which lies just adjacent, just to the south of the Sudan. And were these the people you talked to, or you talked to the people who were working with them?
No, we actually talked to some of the refugees ourselves. And like I said, to hear the horror stories that they tell firsthand of getting hacked to pieces, some of the family members, villages being burned down, and literally they had to run for their life. And there's a town called Kakuma in, I guess it would be western Kenya, is where the UN set up this refugee camp for these people. But they're basically like prisoners. They're not allowed to leave the camp. They really don't have anything. A lot of times not even clothing. So we've been trying to get clothing over there for them. And it's a real discouraging situation with them. Yeah. Now, one thing that happened recently, they said that the UN is forcing them to take an ink stamp in their hand, and it's an invisible stamp, but once they put it in, you can't get it out. And they said the numbers of this stamp add up to 666, so the people wouldn't take it. They didn't want to take it, and now they won't give them the food unless they take this stamp. So the other Kenyan brethren now that have so little food are taking the little bit of mace that they have and bringing it to the Sudanese brethren.
And I think it's so interesting that the United Nations would come up with a stamp with the figures 666 on it. Gee, I'm sure that's just a coincidence, though. I mean, anybody who thinks that this has anything to do with the end times or the Antichrist, or that we, as our government, is supporting the United Nations, which I believe is the government of the Antichrist, well, you've got to be pretty paranoid to believe that. But you know, the most amazing thing is, Don, recently one of the most popular movies in the United States is this story, Hotel Rwanda. So we look back on what happened in Rwanda. Oh, terrible. You know, we feel so guilty. But what the slaughter was going on in Rwanda, they didn't talk about it here in America.
No.
So basically, we don't talk about the slaughters that are going on now, but probably 10 years from now, why, we'll have movies about, how terrible it was for the Christians in the Sudan. You see, what they do is they divert us with stories. They're manipulating our minds, manipulating emotions. But the people who really need help today are not getting the help, because the people who control our media are focusing our attention on all the wrong issues. Certainly what's happening in the western part of the Sudan is a terrible thing, and I think that these people deserve to be helped. But they're being, Muslims are killing Muslims. In the south, why, Muslims are killing Christians. That doesn't get any cover at all, you see, because the real thrust of everything going on today is an intense hatred of Christianity and Christians. Have you ever sensed that?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. And it's interesting that you said about this anti-Christ system in the end time, you know, being from the United Nations. When you look in the book of Daniel, and it talks about this beast having seven heads and 10 horns. Well, if you look at the Security Council, you have 5 permanent members, a rotating president, and a secretary general. There are 7 heads, and then you have 10 members, you know, that rotate, the 10 rotating members. So it really fits that the UN fits so much into this anti-beast system.
No question at all. And of course, the Earth Charter, written by that great American patriot, Mikhail Gorbachev, working with Marie Strong, who's a multi-billionaire, and Stephen Rockefeller, have written the Earth Charter, which is the Mein Kampf for this new world government. They even talk about it as the new Ten Commandments, to replace the outmoded Ten Commandments, and they keep it in the Ark of Hope, the Luciferian counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant, and everything is a mirror image of what's going on. And the Christians are so blinded today, so spiritually blind, they can't see how all of these things are coming together before our very eyes.
I think a big part of that, too, and this is something we learned in Kenya, people travel 3 days by foot without even shoes just to come and visit us, and because we came there to see them. And really, I really believe, because the blessings America has gotten financially, that the people are so lulled asleep. It's very much like that Laodicean church. You know, increased with goods and in need of nothing, but truly, really, spiritually blind and poor and miserable and naked. And we're telling the same thing, that the brethren here need to wake up and really stand up against abortion and against these things that are going on today within the government.
And, of course, the Church of Laodicea was neither hot nor cold. And
yep.
Christ said, "I will spit them out of my mouth." And I really believe we're going to see the judgment of God here in America, because, well, we have such a great apostasy here as we change the message and the music of the church. But the good times roll on and we clap our hands, but, you know, I think we've turned our back on God. Well, now, is there anything else we should talk about as far as what's going on in the Sudan and what's going on in Africa? Or should we talk perhaps what's going on in Central America and in Israel?
Maybe we might want to move over to Israel, because I know an hour goes pretty quick.
All right, go ahead.
Well, we spend about half the year in Israel, and that's primarily where our ministry is based at. And what we try to do is we try to bring brethren to the land, and we bring them on pilgrimages to really show them what's happening today and get a connection to the land of Israel. And one of the things we do is our tours are totally based on archaeology. We work with the Antiquities Department in Israel, and we go down to Egypt to the original Red Sea crossing site, where they found the chariot wheels, the coral-crusted chariot wheels. So we don't take people to Catholic churches and all the traditional places. And I really think it's important, you know, with our Judeo-Christian values in America, for people to get a connection to the land of Israel, because that's really where everything started.
I think that's so interesting. Of course, that's the crossing site that Ron Wyatt found.
Exactly.
I don't know if you know, do you know who Ron Wyatt was?
Oh, exactly. Matter of fact, I worked with Ron originally until he passed away in 99, and then we started taking people down there ourselves.
Well, let me mention to our listeners, we have a wonderful four-tape set. Actually, 2 hours with Ron Wyatt and 2 hours with one of the people that he worked with. It gives the whole history of this amazing individual. And, of course, it's entitled, Where is the Ark of the Covenant? And Ron had some fascinating information on that that you're never going to hear from your regular pastors, that's for sure. So you've been down there. Of course, this is not where people tell you Mount Sinai is, but where I believe it really was and where the crossing really was.
Oh, there's so much proof to it. It's unbelievable. And this year on our tour, we're doing our tour this year in October, for the very first time, we have an underwater glass boat that we're going to be able to take the people on the tour to actually go to look for the chariot wheels themselves.
And there's still some of them there, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's hundreds of them that are underneath there. There's even one that's a 24-karat gold veneer chariot wheel that you could still see down there.
Well, why hasn't somebody got that one? I would think if it's gold veneer, they'd pick it up.
Well, number one, it would be illegal, but that probably wouldn't stop a lot of people. But number two is, I don't think you can get it up. It's been so old, they said, that if you try to take it out of there, it would probably just disintegrate.
Well, tell us a little bit about this. I'm sure you must have been down then. Then where Sodom and Gomorrah was, because Ron used to go there all the time, and showed the people the balls, the sulfur balls. Have you been there? Are there really sulfur balls? I've never seen them, but...
There's definitely sulfur balls there. As a matter of fact, people who come with us on the pilgrimage, they actually get to get them themselves. We've never had someone go home without a sulfur ball. And it's very interesting because those balls have been tested, and they're 95% sulfur and 5% iron, tin, and lead that made the fire that much hotter. And that is the only place in the entire world where those sulfur balls are found.
And
we know brimstone is sulfur.
And I think that that's really so fascinating because the story of the destruction of Sodom centered around the fire and brimstone that came from the sky and, of course, Lot's wife turning back. But, you know, I've been in that area many, many times with the traditional tours, and they take you up to Megiddo, but they never show you the ruins of Sodom or the residual of the brimstone.
Exactly. And yet you can see on the bottom there, you can see the outlines of sinks, of buildings, of ziggurats. And I have personal reasons why I believe they're not recognizing that as Sodom and Gomorrah.
Why is that? Because it really doesn't make sense. You know, we spend all this money to go over there, and then they don't show us some of the most important things.
We've been working with the Antiquities Department for about 5 years now, and they are very professional as far as antiquities go in archaeology. It's top in the world. But one thing that will surprise people, that in Israel, the Antiquities Department is not worried with the Bible. That is not the reason they're there. They're very secular. So when you start bringing out biblical finds, and let's say Sodom, to say, and they say, okay, we know for sure this is the land of Sodom. Well, you might get Arabs in Jordan saying, well, they are the descendants of ancient Sodomites, and now this is our connection to this land. And because of the political situation, a lot of times they will not recognize, an antiquity site like that. They'd rather just, look over it.
And yet, of course, you can't, if you're not looking at the biblical sites, the significance of those biblical sites, why bother to go to the Holy Land?
Oh, that's what I said. And it's interesting. An archaeologist that I became very good friends with, this man is a seventh generation Jew of the land. And, he said to me, he said, Don, before I met you, to me, Passover was just a time to figure out how to sneak bread. He said, since I met you, he said, I'm learning about the covenant. I'm learning that this is real. And he said, my life is so exciting because now I see there's importance to this.
Well, of course, the traditions of the Jews are the very foundation upon which Christianity was based.
Exactly.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now you take tours over there on a regular basis. How large a tour do you take?
The tour is usually a 7-day tour, 6 or 7-day tour, and actually we're working on this fall that we're opening up an archaeological, historical, biblical school there, up near the Sea of Galilee, and it will be the very first school of its kind like this, because...
Go ahead.
Okay. It's not going to be a school of theology. We have enough theology, I think, in the world today. What we're going to do is we are going to prove the authenticity of the Bible through history and archaeologists. And the top archaeologists in Israel are going to be our instructors there.
Well, I tell you what, there's no more exciting place to be than the Sea of Galilee, especially when you're out in the middle of that sea, that great big lake, and one of those storms comes up. And I can imagine how the Jesus' disciples must have felt when the storm was there, and they were in a little boat. We were in a 60-foot boat, and I'll tell you, it was scary. We'll be right back here with Pastor Don Esposito in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules, preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor Don Esposito. Don, would you like to get your website out?
Sure. Our website is www.congregationofyhwhjerusalem.com.
Of YH, what is it?
YHWHJerusalem.com. Congregation of YHWHJerusalem.com.
.com. Okay, fine. Congregation of WHJH.
YHWH.
Right. Jerusalem.com. And our guest, of course, takes guests over to the Holy Land and, of course, travels throughout the world and has an opportunity to talk to Christians. Now, as far as Israel is concerned, of course, you know, and when we've been there in the past, we've heard of Hebron and many of the areas that really are no longer open to Christians. But is there still plenty of places you can go to really understand the biblical message that is available in this unique part of the world?
Oh, very much so. One thing that's a little troubling over the last couple of years is, as a lot of this political wrangling is going on inside of Israel, many of the Christian holy sites, the authority has been given over to the Muslims. And I really wonder why. I don't understand it. I know when Yasser Arafat was alive, he claimed he wanted to get control of these things to protect them from the Christians. And it's like, you know, telling him, having an elephant protect the peanuts for you, you know? And it just doesn't make any sense. No, but a lot of these sites have been lost now to the Muslims, the control of them.
I would think it would be more like analogous to putting the fox in charge of the hen house. Yeah. Under any circumstances, you know, certainly Israel is a wonderful, wonderful place to visit. And what about the lot of the Israelis? My feeling is that they must be getting pretty well worn down by the constant threat of suicide bombers, the constant threat of war, the uncertainties that would come in living in this country.
Yeah, it's very hard. And, you know, in America, people will see a suicide bomb and they'll feel bad and, you know, they'll see people die and then the next day they move on. But, you know, in Israel, what people forget about is, beside the tragedy of living every day with the fear, you know, that maybe you're going to die or maybe someone in your family is going to die, a lot of people forget the ones who survive, because there's a lot more survivors of these terror attacks than people who die. And a lot of the survivors are living crippled. You know, they're living with limbs taken off. It's just unbelievable. And the ones who are sorrowing, children that have been killed by these terror attacks, and it really is wearing the people down. They are getting very discouraged.
And, of course, what most people don't understand is we finance both sides. We finance the Palestinian terrorists, Arafat, and we finance the Israelis. And there's something wrong with the picture. But then there's something wrong with so much of what's going on in the world today. Have you had much of a chance to talk to the Israelis when you're there?
Oh, quite a bit. We have quite a bit of a chance to talk to and witness to Israelis. And what you said is exactly true. I mean, but if you look, almost every war in the world, America seems to support both sides of it financially. And we make a lot of money, I guess, selling weapons. But particularly in Israel, we give $5 billion a year to aid to the Israelis, and we give over $500 million a year in aid to the Palestinians. The vast majority of the money by the Palestinians is used for terrorists.
Right. Well, somebody's got to keep the terrorists going. They certainly can't finance it on their own.
No, of course not. But you wonder, when we're supposed to be in a war against terror in our own country, why on earth would we be involved in building up nothing more than a terror network?
Well, there are a lot of unanswered questions out there, questions that the people in positions of power don't want the American people to ask. Well, now, of course, you've actually been to South America, too. This is another place that you are involved as far as your ministry is concerned. Is the lot of the people in South America somewhat analogous to that as far in Africa as far as the poverty and the inability really to get ahead if you're just a common person?
Yeah, it's almost impossible. But, you know, in places like Honduras and Peru, these places, people basically just get the day. They don't even think about getting ahead. You know, it's just surviving for the day. And if you look in areas, other areas of South America, take a place like Argentina, that just 10 or 15 years ago was really building itself up as a nation, like we said before, through the World Bank coming in and basically hijacking these places, they've totally destroyed any economy down there that actually was working their way up. So all you're seeing now, instead of these countries getting stronger and trying to build their way up, they're getting poorer and poorer and poorer.
And, of course, we saw what happened, of course, when Argentina massively devalued their currency and simply wiped out the savings of the middle class. Those are the people who were foolish enough to believe what their officials told them, and that is, we will never devalue the currency again. You can trust us, because we're from your government. I think they had five new presidents in a matter of about 3 months. And, of course, but now things are coming out the other side. The people are impoverished. The rich get richer. The poor get poorer. And life goes on. We'll be back in just a moment or two with Pastor Don Esposito. And welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened.
And the video is called Cover Up in Oklahoma. Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor Don Esposito. That's Pastor Don Esposito. And, of course, if you'd like to get in touch with him, why, their website. Do you want to get your website up one more time?
Yes. Our website is www.congregationofyhwhjerusalem.com.
Okay. And we'll get that number off one more time. We have Herman calling in from Carmel. And if you're out there across America, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Herman. Did you have a question for our guest today? There we are. Herman, did you have a question for our guest today?
Yes. I just wanted to ask, Pastor, since he lives out of the country now, most of the year, what comments he might have for Christians here in America, some perspective that he has as far as, you know, how America is changing, and maybe suggestions of how Christians can keep their walk with the Lord fresh and maybe a little less materialistic than we're often accustomed to.
Do you have any thoughts along that line, Don?
Sure. Well, it's very interesting that if you look at America, especially in the last couple of years, we are really going in a bad direction. You know, I mean, since 1962, taking prayer out of school, and then the Roe versus Wade and the abortion, these were horrendous in themselves. But now, getting to the point that same-sex marriages are legal, and, you know, if you speak against homosexuality, they want to make it a hate crime. And I really believe it's a time where American believers have to start standing up for the truth. And the problem in America today, we've been so conditioned the last decade, is not to take chances and don't get involved and protect yourself. And we have to start getting like old times. We have to start standing up for what we believe in. And, you know, there is something to die for if it's righteous. So we have to be there in the Bible, not only physical death, but we should be losing our physical, our life every day by helping the poor and helping the destitute. And I really think it's a time for every believer in Christ to be on their hands and knees and really looking at what their calling means and making a full dedication to Him today.
Somebody once said, if you don't have something you're not willing to die for, you really don't have anything that you're willing to live for.
Exactly.
Well, Herman, did you have any other thoughts at all?
Well, I just want to ask Don if he believes that America will ever come under judgment, and then the concept of repentance.
The question then is, will America come under God's judgment because we have turned our back on Him, because the Christian church has allowed the wicked people in the Supreme Court to take God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our school and destroy the faith of our children, and of course allow the destruction of what I believe is a God-breathed, a created constitution that allowed men to be free and acknowledge that our freedom came from God? Can we maintain our freedom? What will God do to this country that truly has turned against Him and is doing so much wickedness throughout the world today?
Yep. I really believe that if you look in the Bible, that at this point America is fulfilling the scriptures of end-time Babylon. And if you look at those scriptures, they say that the sins, you know, the cup is filled with the abominations of her. And that's the problem today, that we don't see that there's judgment for sin. We don't see there's consequences to our action. And I really believe unless something changes, I think we are at a crossroad now, and unless something changes immediately, I really believe, even in President Bush's second term now, that major judgment is coming in our country.
All right. Does that answer your question, Herman?
Yes. Yes, it does.
All right, Don. Thank you so much for calling. And again, our telephone...
Thank you, Herman.
Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we were talking about South America. Is it, where do you go? Do you go to Honduras or where do you go?
Well, you know, like you're talking about with South America and the things happening down there with Argentina and the different places. And like I said, Honduras was a place where if you get in the real third world places, basically the people are just living day to day. But I think the biggest scare of it is that a lot of things that just happened with Argentina, I mean, we're at the verge in our country of the same thing happening. If the dollar keeps getting devalued much further, you know, and in our country it doesn't make a difference because they don't see that the dollar is falling, because it doesn't seem like it's making a difference to Americans. But if it keeps going much further, you're going to see major problems happen and possibly the devaluing of our dollar in the near future.
And I share your concerns. Let's go to Mike here. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I guess you all were talking about the holy sites being mostly under the control of the Arabs.
Well, some of them are certainly under the control of the Arabs, yes.
Yeah. Well, in the Declaration of the Establishment of the State of Israel, there's a whole lot it has to say about the United Nations, and such as it will be faithful to the principles of the Charter of the United Nations. Anything that binds Israel to the United Nations like that is going to be problematic, and it seems like that might be one of them regarding the holy sites.
Oh, without a doubt. A matter of fact, if you look at the United Nations relationship to Israel since 1948, the United Nations has made more resolutions against this little tiny land of Israel than every country in the world combined. And they have dogmatic proof that the United Nations literally, with Hezbollah guerrillas, have given them rides over the borders, have snuck arms in for them into Israel for attacks. And the United Nations would be the last person that I would trust to protect Israel and the, you know, sovereignty of that nation or their religious sites there.
Declaration, one more sentence, if I may. The State of Israel is prepared to cooperate with the agencies and representatives of the United Nations in implementing the resolution of the General Assembly of the 29th of November, 1947. Have you studied through this document in the course of your activities?
I've seen the UN resolution from 47. I don't know every particular of it, but I have read the resolution from 1947, and it is fairly telling. But like I said, as far as the United Nations connection to Israel, I don't have any faith in them from what I've seen on the inside of the land whatsoever.
I believe the United Nations is anti-Christian. I believe it's corrupt. I believe it will be the government of the Antichrist, and we're in real trouble because we are with a major supporter of what I believe is the government of the Antichrist.
Yeah, well, this is a founding document of the State of Israel.
Right.
And they're tied
to
the United Nations.
And that's unfortunate because their leaders made a terrible, terrible error in that. But then there are so many errors that have been made. Anything else you want to say?
I was going to make one comment on that.
Go ahead.
If you look at when Israel became a nation in 1948, basically the people who made Israel a nation was the plan was to make it a secular nation to ultimately bring in a false Messiah to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. So when the nation was made, even though I do believe it was God's hand ultimately that did it, the people who were doing it through the United Nations, they were not doing it as a Zionistic movement. They were doing it to bring in a secular nation into the land, and the last thing they wanted was a religious movement to come in there, and that's been the big problem. Since the religious movement has come in, and now you have true Zionist settlers who believe in the Torah and believe in the Bible, these are the very people now that they want to get off their land and they want to get rid of.
Now, what about the attitude towards Christians over there? Of course, they love to have the Christian, the Christian tourists and the Christians' money and our foreign aid. But what's the attitude towards the Christians who are living there in the land?
It's not good. It really is not good whatsoever. And like you said, you hit it right on the money. They love your money. You know, they love you to come in for a week and spend as much as possible. But what they put you through when you're a tourist, and even the first time I went to Israel, and I made the mistake of saying I was a pastor at the border, that was the last time I said that, they literally took everything out of my suitcase, they took my dirty underwear, they took my film apart laughing, and, that's what they do a lot of times, you know, as far as Christians there. And for Jewish people who come to the land who are Christians, Messianic believers, if they find out that they're a believer, you know, in Christ, they will stop their paperwork. They will not get their Aliyah papers to stay there. You will not be able to get work. It's really discriminated against Christians in the land. Well, you have to say, but that's the truth.
Well, we've heard that actually there is an effort to force Christians, to sell their property and really trying to drive them out. These are the people who want to live there because they feel this is God's land and that there should be a Christian influence there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they're scared of it. They're scared of it because they see, in the past 10, 20 years, many Jewish people starting to believe in Christ, and there any way they can stop that movement, they want to do it. And for the Palestinian Christians, it's the worst, because here it is, you know, people aren't too friendly to Palestinians to begin with. And what literally happens, in Bethlehem, there's been about 40,000 Palestinian Christians that have been forced to move out of there. And what will happen is that the terrorists will come into a Palestinian Christian home and start shooting from their homes, and then the Israeli government will come, the IDF, and they'll start bombing the house, and then the poor Christian is there left with nothing and just have to leave and go north and start over again.
And I think this is really so true, that the Palestinian Christians are one of the most tragic people. The Palestinians are tragic people, but if you're a Palestinian Christian, you've got three strikes against you. And what a tragedy it is, because they're not accepted by the Jews, they're hated by the Muslims, and they sure not get much support from us.
No, and really, a lot of them that we know personally, they really are good people.
I'm sure they are.
So, like I said, it really is a shame, and they do need our prayers.
Amen to that. Well, now we were going to talk a little bit about South America before we got off sidetracks there. What is happening? We're saying that in many areas of Central America, specifically Honduras, as you were speaking of, really the people sort of live from day to day with no hope, really almost no hope of ever getting ahead. Would that be fair?
That's really fair. You know, when we first went down there in 99, right before Y2K, and I started asking the people, you know, well, what do you think if Y2K happened? And they laughed. They said, you know, 80% of us here don't even have electric. So it really doesn't make a difference if it happens or not. And they live in these tiny little shanties that are put together with just a couple of pieces of wood, dirt floors, no bathrooms, just unbelievable living conditions that you couldn't even imagine. And like I said, with no hope of ever getting out of that or doing anything better.
Really, really, it's such a tragic, tragic situation. Is there a growing Christian movement in Central America or not?
Not particularly. I mean, a little bit, but, you know, a lot of it is really under the thumb of Catholicism. So there hasn't been a big movement down there as far as coming out of Catholicism and whatnot. But, you know, little by little, it is growing.
Well, of course, the biggest thing is they have to have industry, they have to have businesses, and, of course, they, like the other third world countries, have been put into a position of becoming intentionally impoverished, buying off the leaders, and then, of course, burdening the country with debt, and they have to take all the money they get rather than helping the people or building up the infrastructure actually to pay interest on the debt, and that's why the poverty has actually increased over the last 20 years, not decreased.
Absolutely.
Well, what's the solution? I mean, certainly you're doing the best that you can. What can you do? What can people do to help you?
Well, really, at this point, we're trying to do the best we can, you know, but when you have the World Bank and a lot of these gigantic institutions totally against you, I would say our biggest concern is just getting food and clothing into the people that are starving to death or ready to die. So that's our big concern. I mean, we're in Africa. We were trying to start this Project Africa and really build their economy up. It's been so difficult because of the restrictions that they're put on by the world community. So if people want to help, you know, they could contribute to us in that way and help us to send things over there and on our missionary trips. And that's probably at this point the most we could do. And just a lot of prayer, too. Keep it in their prayers.
Well, the people of Kenya, the people of Africa are warm and really very, very kind people. I lived in Africa for 3 years and in South Africa and became very, very fond of the people there. And of course, there was a bond between those who were Christians and me. It was really a very, very interesting experience and how different the Christian black was from the non-Christian black. Do you have a telephone number that you'd like to put out?
Not a telephone number, but I can give an address.
All right, fine.
We have an address. It's P.O. Box 832, and that's in Carteret, C-A-R-T-E-R-E-T, New Jersey, 07008.
New Jersey, 07008?
Yes.
All right. Post Office Box 832, Carteret, New Jersey, 07008. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And so, you know, you look at South America. South America is impoverished and will remain impoverished until, of course, we can get the debt simply forgiven, because it really wasn't anything at all. All the money's made out of nothing by the central bankers, who really their purpose was to enslave the people through debt. And they don't enslave them directly. They just buy off the politicians and get them to borrow the money so that they will enslave the people. Isn't that nice? And, of course, they do the same thing throughout the world. It's a standard thing, and the average American really doesn't understand what's going on. Do you think, Don?
Oh, absolutely. And it's discouraging. You know, even just from a couple of years ago from Kenya, we see such a change in the last month when we were there that, like you said, the World Bank is coming in now since they have a new government. They're giving them billions of dollars to build up all these different things, and all they're doing is giving them a debt they can never pay, so that they can totally enslave the country.
And, of course, what's so interesting is that that's exactly what the United States is doing, building up ever more debt that somebody's going to have to pay off sometime in the future. People find it difficult to believe America could ever become a third world nation. After all, we're the greatest nation in the world. But, of course, so was Rome at one time, and so was ancient Greece, and they did exactly what we did, borrowed money, spent money, went into moral decline, and I really fear that we can not only look at things monetarily and politically and historically, but we have to look at it spiritually. And I believe God brings judgment upon nations that turn their back on Him. How would you comment on that, Don?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, you know, when you look in the Bible of end time Babylon, you know, Revelation 18, they're the number one economic power in the world. They're the hammer of the earth, the world policeman, the number one military, and yet because of the moral laxity, you know, that the Father is going to bring judgment on these people, and it's coming, but they can get out of it. You know, if repentance came, if people sincerely got on their hands and knees like in Nineveh and repented of their sins and turned around and said, we are going to stop abortion, we are going to dedicate our lives to the Bible, they don't have to go through the judgments that are coming down soon. But that's a personal decision that each person has to make.
And I think if you read the scriptures and you find out that, you know, when Babylon is destroyed, all the merchants of the world wept because they were the major purchaser of their goods. And who were the merchants of the world going to trade with when Babylon was destroyed? And if these indeed are the end times, what would be that one country that everybody, all the merchants of the world, are dealing with?
Exactly, America.
And I really
America imports and exports in one day more than all the world put together.
And, of course, America spends more on its military than the next 20 nations of the world put together. We are the greatest military force in the world, living on borrowed money, and I really believe living on borrowed time. Well, Don, we're just about ready to let you go. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Sure. The parting thought is, you know, the Bible says, seek the Lord when he may be found, and this is the time that we can't wait one more day. You have to make your calling sincere, and you have to make it today. And we do have a tape on Babylon. If anybody would like it, they can write to our address, and we would give it absolutely for free. So it'll be our gift to your callers today.
All right, fine. God bless you. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perished. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our program. Certainly, anyone under any circumstances, we do carry the book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. We have one interview with John Perkins, the author, and we'll be having putting together a four-tape set with Mr. Perkins. We will be carrying his book. It's out of print right now, but if we have them ordered, and we hope to have them very, very soon. This is an excellent book because, of course, it crystallizes exactly what is going on in the world today. In fact, our January newsletter deals with this entire subject, uses the background of the writings of Joseph Stiglitz, a former vice president of the World Bank, who was very, very critical of the policies of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, and said how they were actually indebting, creating nations, creating debt for nations all across the world to enslave them and lower the living standards. And, of course, that was the message of John Perkins' book. And then, of course, we use the writings of Major General Smedley Butler, the most decorated Marine hero of the first half of the last century, and his writings, War is a Racket. So you'll want to get our January newsletter. It will be available soon. If you'd like to order a copy, or you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. As for the January newsletter, but better still, why don't you subscribe to the newsletter? That will help us. And, of course, for $20 a year, you'll get 12 issues of the Radio Liberty newsletter and stay on the cutting edge of what's really going on in the world today. Because unless you really understand what's going on, you really can't understand what's going on. $25 a year will get you, of course, a subscription to the Radio Liberty newsletter. And our number is 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I wanted to tell you that we do actually have a wonderful four-tape set, interviews with Ron Wyatt, who's gone to be with the Lord, but he really was one of the most amazing people. He was an anesthesiologist who made some of the most amazing archaeological discoveries of all time. He was the one who identified where Sodom really was. He was the one who identified that crossing across the Red Sea, but not where you're told they went across, but another area where the cartwheels are still there, and then where the real Mount Sinai was, and then where the Noah's Ark was. But his greatest find of all was the Ark of the Covenant. And our four-tape set, where is the Ark of the Covenant? Well, I don't know anybody else who has interviews with Ron. If you'd like to get that four-tape set, two interviews with 2 hours with Ron Wyatt and 2 hours with one of his assistants, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, to understand what's going on in the world today, let me suggest my video, Iraq, the Untold Story. And to get the syllabus with that, by the same title, Iraq, the Untold Story. And we put the syllabus together so you'll have the documentation for everything we say in the video. We have another great new video. It's called None Dare Call It Genocide. And it is the story of the conscious effort to poison the American people. You know, if you study the background of Vioxx and Celebrex, why, probably somewhere between 40 and 50,000 American people died, and they knew what was going to happen. When they testified Celebrex back in the year 1999, they found that you increased the incidence of heart attacks 7 times. So what did they do? They certified it, they sold it, and they tried to cover up the truth from the American people. Why would you do that? You need to get our four-tape set, None Dare Call It Genocide. Pardon me, you need to get our video, None Dare Call It Genocide. It's the talk we gave at our last seminar here in Santa Cruz. That's None Dare Call It Genocide. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 3 hours a day, live on the Internet. Listen to our archive programs, which go back about 6 weeks. And note that the various items that we carry, and we do carry the Berkey products. If you buy the Berkey products through us, through Radio Liberty, you'll get a four-tape set or a video that we have produced by free of charge as a bonus for getting things through us. And then, of course, we hope that you will tell others about our radio programs and our shortwave programs. Get other people listening. Maybe you can't convince them what's going on. Let me convince them. At least let me try to convince them, because an awful lot of people start out listening to what we have to say, and they're sure we're crazy, and before long they're afraid we're not. So your job is to get people to listen. My job, with God's help, will be to try to let them understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, economic battlefield. And so, again, the website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Let me simply mention that we hope many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, when you join, well, you get our 4 best tapes of the month, you get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you help us to finance what we do. If you'd like to subscribe to the newsletter, it's $25 a year. If you'd like a free copy of the January newsletter, it goes into the book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and how the World Bank and the IMF and the great corporations work in concert with the CIA and the NSA and American intelligence to enslave the nations of the world. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. You need to read Confessions of an Economic Hitman. We'll have copies in here, we hope, in a few days. They supposed they were going to be sent out on the 29th. Under any circumstances, we are facing the ultimate evil. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again. Dr. Stan, goodbye. And may the Lord be with you.